Song of Solomon, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. I'll not repeat everything that I said on Sunday night, but we'll just go back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. I'll give you a moment to find it. Best to probably find Psalms and keep going toward the New Testament. A little easier to find it that way. Just a small book. And we like to give folks time to find the Scriptures. And especially new converts, you know. Don't ever be embarrassed if you can't find it right away. Just keep searching. That's good for us. And the more you read it, the more accustomed you'll get to it. Pretty soon you'll almost be able to put your thumb right where the books are at and go to them. And I guess that's probably one of the hardest things. When I get a Bible and it's worn in, it's difficult for me to get a new Bible to try to break it in then, because you get used to where it's at in that particular Bible. But let's go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, as we look again at the love relationship and a portrayal of the love relationship between Jesus Christ, the groom, and the church, his bride. Chapter 3 and verse 1, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and in the chamber of her that conceived me." I don't think there's quite any outline that a man can put together that can ever compare to the outline that's straight in Scripture. And I think this is probably one of the simplest outlines that you ever find in the Word of God concerning our relationship to Christ. If you're a Christian, I think there's four things that happen in your life when you become a Christian. Number one, she said, "I saw him." Number two, "I found him." Number three, "I held him." And number four, "I would not let him go." Now, just don't get any better than that, folks. I sought him, not just any man, not just any person. You've got to be careful of man worship. I believe God uses men and women. There's people that God sends into our life that makes great impacts on our life and inspiration to us. And thank God for those individuals that do make such an impact on our life. But yet we don't worship people, we worship him, the one whom our soul loves. You know, they even had that problem in the Corinthian church. Some started talking about who they were saved under. Some said, "I'm of Cephas," and others, "I'm of Apollos." And the great preacher and apostle reminded them, "One plants and one waters, but the harvest belongs to the Lord." Thank God for the preacher that brought the Word of God to you, but the preacher that brought the Word of God to you can't save your soul. Hearing the Word of God is not enough. It's the fact that when you hear the Word of God, you obey the Word of God, and you seek Him. I get in trouble when I say this. I don't believe in seeker-friendly churches. But I know that sinners that seek Him will be found. And if you're ever going to be saved, I still think you have to seek Him. Now, don't get the wrong idea. He never has been lost. But the problem of it is, you got so lost, you don't know where He's at. He's always been right where He was in the beginning. He's on the throne, high and lifted up. And when you get serious about seeking Him, something will happen in your life. Years ago, I remember a revival out in the country that I went to preach. Just went there 3 or 4 nights and stayed about 2 or 3 weeks. And in that revival, every night people were being saved. People were coming to the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. We used to call it mourner's bench, where people could seek the Lord. That's what the altar was referred to. Somebody came to me here a while back and said, it's wrong to tell people to seek the Lord. I said, well, then the Bible's wrong. The Bible says, seek Him while He may be found. And when you seek Him with all of your heart, the Bible says you'll find Him. And here, people were seeking Him, but there was still a burden on the church. Have you ever seen those times where God would send a great revival? And don't misunderstand me. You praise God for everyone that gets saved. But it's almost like there's still somebody else out there that needs the Lord. Like that meeting is for someone else that maybe it'll never be the same again. And in that particular revival, it was an old farmer. He wore bibbed overalls, sat on the back row, came every night of that revival. Every night he was under conviction. Every night he wiped tears from his eyes. Every night he said no. Every night the pastor or a deacon or a Christian that cared about him, but they wouldn't embarrass him, but on the way out, you'd see him whisper little things to him. You know what they were saying. What is it that's keeping you from being saved? Why don't you look to the Lord? The Lord's dealing with your heart. And he would leave night after night without the Lord. And it's almost like a burden fell, not on part of a church. It's something when we carry a burden for the lost as an individual. But when collectively a church starts carrying a burden for a person, it's almost like the weight is on the entire church. It was somewhat like for those of you that were around this church when Bob Patterson got saved. You remember that weight that was there? It was on everybody's heart, on everybody's mind. Luella Flager, she even put a post-it note. And she kept that post-it note attached to her head. Had Bob Patterson's name on it. She said, I'm getting old and forgetful, but when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded to pray for Bob. She said, I know it sounded silly, and if you knew her, she was a polite lady, an educated lady. She wasn't a silly lady. She was concerned about Bob. Bob would come, and he'd sit with his family, had a wife that loved the Lord, beautiful kids, but he was still lost in need of the Lord. But yet, the church got a burden for Bob. And of all the places when we got out of the church in the first building project, went over to the fellowship hall, one service, Bob came out and sought the Lord and he found him. Do you remember those of you that were here, how that felt when all of us, we felt like we got saved again because the burden was lifted? That entire church got a burden for that old farmer that was lost. I'm telling you, when we closed that revival out, it was almost a feeling like of disappointment, almost a feeling like somebody had died. Out of a great revival, you felt empty still because this old farmer, so many felt like, may never have another opportunity to be saved. They felt like that was his opportunity. They kept praying. We closed the revival out on Sunday and he followed the same routine every Monday morning. He'd get up about 5 or 5:30 every day of the week, in fact, of the work week. He'd go out in the fields and he'd work a little while. And when he'd come back in, about 8:30, 8 o'clock, his wife would have breakfast ready. He'd eat a little bit and then go back out to work. He came in about 8 o'clock and he told her, said, I don't feel very good. I got a lot of pressure, like I've got indigestion. He said, I feel so sick. He was a veteran. Told her, said, I'm going to drive up to see if maybe I can get one of the doctors up there to check me out. Said, something's wrong. She said, are you sure you're all right? He said, you stay here. I'm okay. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine. He was very set in his way. And when he said something, she knew it didn't do any good to argue. He was gone anyway. So he left and she started making calls to get a hold of the kids so that they could catch up with him. That was before cell phones and everybody being able to reach one another. And he had an old pickup truck that he drove, rusted out around the fenders, the old tailgate just barely hanging on. He crossed the bridge over to Huntington, West Virginia, went into the VA, and when they checked him out, they said, sir, you're having a heart attack. And he said, what? They said, you're having a heart attack. He said, now? They said, now. He said, I got to go. They said, you can't go anywhere. He said, I'm telling you, I got to go. I know what I need to do. I've got to go. And they said, you can't leave. He said, I'm leaving. And you knew well, nobody was going to stop him when he made his mind up. He was just set in his ways. And he knew when he made his mind up, that was it. So they caught him going out the door, shoved a clipboard under him, and said, you've got to sign this. He said, what is it? Said, it's a medical release that we told you not to leave, and you have no business leaving. You're having a heart attack. And he signed his name and said, I'll be responsible. And he came back across that bridge, coming back, the 17th Street Bridge, there in Huntington, West Virginia. Got on US 52. There used to be a Kmart there. I don't even know if it's there anymore. Right about where Sam's Club is now. Coming back toward Cold Grove, Ohio. And all of a sudden, the blessed Holy Ghost filled that old truck. And he heard a voice from heaven said, if you'll pull over, I'll save your soul. He pulled that old truck over. He got out behind the back bumper and he knelt down, not hardly knowing what to say or do, but knowing what people had done in that revival. And he got serious with God and he started praying, oh Lord, if you will save my soul. He said, I can't explain it, but it wasn't very long until I found him. And the burden had lifted. And he said, all of a sudden the sorrow was replaced with rejoicing. And he said, I'm praising God on my knees on US 52 while the trucks are passing by and the cars are going by. And I'm rejoicing. He said, all of a sudden I felt a tap on my shoulder. And he said, I just found the Lord. And he said, I'll be honest, I was afraid to turn around. I thought the Lord had sent an angel to take me on home. And that first thought came to his mind, don't turn and look at that angel. If the Lord calls you home, your family will never know that you got right with God. He said, so I kept praying. He said, a little while I felt the tap again, a little more stern, and thought, I've got to look. And I turned and there was a state highway patrolman. He said, sir, are you all right? He said, I've never done better in my life. He said, are you sick? He said, I was, but I'm feeling fine now. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm telling you, I just asked the Lord to come into my heart. And I found Jesus right here on US 52 at the back bumper of this old pickup truck. And he said, say, mister, are you a Christian? He said, that patrolman got in the car, turned the lights on, and took off. He didn't want anything to do with it. I'm telling you, when you seek him, you'll find him. A lot of you have sought the Lord in a lot of places. Found him in a lot of places. Sharon back here. Bless your heart. She's an associate with what I'm preaching. Called me up one day from her cell phone. Christmas shopping. Asked the Lord to save her. Got under conviction. Christmas shopping. Been coming to the church. The Lord saved her soul and she's been here ever since that time. I can look across this place and I see some of you got saved in prison. Some of you got saved on the work site. Some of you got saved at your house. And a lot of you been saved at the altar. What are you saying? It's not so much the location. It's when you start seeking Him. That's when you find Him. This is a great place to find Him. But you'll never find Him till you seek Him. I sought Him. I found Him. There had been six teens saved this week. And one child saved. Jim Payne, you don't know who that is, do you? I'm sitting there in the pew. And little Gwenny runs up to me and jumps up on my lap at the end of service and said, Cal Ray, I asked Jesus into my heart. Of course, I hugged her. And I thought, I'm going to watch her to see what she does. She started running all over that tabernacle, one right after another. Ran up to Karen Pelfrey and said, Karen, breaking news. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And she said, you can too. She found something that's real to her. I don't know how it is with you, but when I saw Him, bless His holy name, I'm glad I know that I've found Him. I didn't get something fake. I didn't get something worked up. But it's genuine. It's real. When you seek Him, you'll find Him. I sought Him. I found Him. I like this. I held Him. Didn't see my wife last night, and of all places, Met her on the elevator at the hospital today. I'm going in to see Ray Belcher, and here she comes, going in to see Ray Belcher. We met up on the elevator. Another family was on there, didn't know us. She said, "Hey, good looking." I said, "Are you interested in a date?" We went out for breadsticks before church tonight. And people was looking at me, saw my clergy badge. I imagine what was going through their mind. But you know, it is amazing to me when you see the right one. I mean, after that I'm gone for a night and a day, or I'm gone for a week, however long it is, the first thing I want to do when I see her, and you do whatever you want, but I want to hold her. I know some of you haven't touched in 20 years, but I want to hold her. I'm glad to see her. See, I found the right one. She's the right one. Quit looking when I found her. Don't want another one. Don't need another one. Got the right one. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I quit searching around other religions and it's all right, I guess, to dabble around and see what this one thinks and that one thinks. But anything that I do is for education's sake, because I know I've got the right one. When I met Jesus and fell in love with Him, I'm telling you, you know, He's the one and there is none other. Years ago, there was a lady that was at a yard sale. She went to the table, picked up some books, and was fumbling through those books. And she picked up a book with an interesting title and thought, "Boy, I think I'll buy that book." And she bought that book, and she went home. And that night, she thought, "I'm going to read a little bit of that book." Opened it up and started to read through it. In a little while, she thought to herself, "That's the most boring book that I've ever read in my life." Closed it up. Went to bed. Next morning got up, stuck it up on the shelf in the closet, and thought, "Well, maybe sometime later on I'll try to get something out of it to get my money's worth." Years went by. This lady met a fella, and it wasn't long till they started dating, and soon they fell in love. One day he calls her up and says, "Saturday night I'm going to take you somewhere special. Put your best dress on." Said, "It's going to be the biggest night of my life. And I hope it's the biggest night of your life." She knew what it was coming. They went out for dinner, and after dinner, he proposed to her. She accepted. And after several minutes of basking in the excitement of all of it, she started talking to him and said, "You know the strangest thing? When I went to the closet, I wanted to pick out. I thought you might do this," she said. "Ask that question." So I went through the closet trying to find the perfect dress and the perfect outfit and the perfect accessories. And she said, "One of the accessories I wanted, I couldn't find. I got to search and then," she said, "strangest thing." She said, "I come across a book that I bought years ago," and said, "Do you know that author had the same name that you've got?" He said, "Well, what's the name of the book?" She told him. He said, "Well, that's no coincidence. I wrote that book." He said, "Did you enjoy it?" She hum-hawed around and was diplomatic in her answer. Finally, the date ended, and when she ran home that night, she didn't go to bed. She got that book out. She dusted it off. Read all night long until the dawn broke. When she read the last chapter and got to the end, she folded that book up, put that book up to her chest and hugged it, and said, "That's the most wonderful book that I've ever read in my life." Do you know what made the difference? She fell in love with the author. This book may just be collecting dust somewhere on your shelf tonight, But when you seek Him and you find Him and you hold Him, every time you pick up His Word, you're grabbing Him again and hugging Him again. And you know what makes the difference? You fall in love with the author of all of it. It's His Word, His love letter to your soul that tells you how much that He cares for you. I sought Him. I found Him. I held Him. I think that it's kind of a shame that people today don't emphasize enough the love relationship that we need to have with Christ. I mean, you need to fall head over heels in love with Jesus. We all do. If you love Him, nobody will have to beg you to do what's right. If you love Him, you'll want to please Him. If you love Him, you'll want to follow Him. If you love Him, it won't be a chore to do one thing that He commands in His Word because you love Him. I sought Him. I found Him. I held Him. And here's the best part. I would not let Him go. We need a determination to say, it is so sweet to be in love with Jesus that when we fall in love with Him, I'm not being judgmental of anyone, and I know people turn back. I know they turn back. But for the life of me, while we can't understand, Jesus Himself taught His disciples about the love they should have for Him. And when the crowd left, Jesus turned to them and said, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life." Now maybe I'm old-fashioned on this. But after you've experienced the blessings from heaven and the love of Christ pouring out on your life, why would you want to live any less than in His arms? Why would you want to do any less than please Him? Why wouldn't you want to determine to say, "I'm going to hold to His unchanging hand no matter what comes my way"? So many of the old saints that have gone on now, there's one thing that stood out in their life. They had a genuine love relationship with Jesus. If you do nothing else, determine to love Him. I have a preacher friend that pastored a church near a Bible college, and he found himself oftentimes when he was raising his children, him and his wife, sometimes in the late night of Saturday night, he'd slip away to the Bible college, and they used to keep the library there open 24 hours a day. And he'd go there late on Saturday night to get alone with God. They'd always leave. They wouldn't light up all the aisleways of the books and back in the bookcases, but they'd leave two or three lit up in the main area, study area, lit up for the students. And he knew on Saturday night, no one would hardly be in there. And he'd find himself just a good place to get alone. It was his place to get alone with God. Talk to the Lord about the services on Sunday. He was there one Saturday night, late night, the middle of the night. And while he was just praying and meditating on the Lord, he heard somebody sobbing uncontrollably. And he thought, "Well, who is that?" And he was almost embarrassed because he could tell that he thought they were moaning in spirit. And he made his way back over into the darkened aisleway, and they had a big palladium window at the end of that aisle, bookcases on both sides. And he could tell by the silhouette it was a young preacher that they had helped in his schooling. His church had helped pay for some of his school. The young preacher had such a desire to serve the Lord, was willing to go anywhere God wanted him to go. The young preacher's mom and dad had died at a young age. He was, had a hard life, difficult life. And he said, I stood there and he never said anything, just sobbing. He said, after a while, I almost felt awkward, but I felt so impressed that he said, I had to go over. He said, and I laid my hand on his shoulder and said, son, is everything all right? Is there something I can do to help you? And he said, the young man turned around and said, when his profile was turned, said, I could see the moonlight coming through and tears glistening on his cheeks. And he said, oh, Pastor, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to give anybody the impression anything was wrong. I didn't dream that anyone would be in here in this hour. And he said, well, son, what are you doing here? Have you come to pray about a burden? Oh, no, no. He said, well, why are you here? And he said, I just felt so compelled to steal away somewhere, get alone with God, and just tell the Lord how much I love Him. He said, preacher, don't you just feel like sometimes you just have to tell Him how much you love Him? Don't you just have to thank Him for all the blessings that He's given to you? I haven't come because something's wrong. I've come because so many things are right. And I wonder sometimes if we don't go through life, and it's not wrong to ask God for anything, but every now and then we ought to spend a little bit of time and steal away somewhere and say, Lord, before I ask you for one thing, I don't want to ask you for one more thing till I pause for just a moment and tell you how much I love you. Tell you how glad that I am that you walk with me every day. And you helped me, that you loved me when I was unlovable and saved me when I was lost and gave me the hope of everlasting life. Sometimes I think He likes it when we just stop to tell Him how much we love Him. And by the way, we sure need Him, don't we, church? And it does us good to tell Him that we love Him. You know what? It never fails when we tell Him that we love Him. He always whispers back, child, I love you too. I love you too. I've never stopped loving you. Our grandson just getting right at that age. A few days ago, I leaned over and gave him a kiss on the cheek. With a real low voice, he said, I love you so much, Poppy. I couldn't help but think how good that felt. And I wonder how the Lord feels when we just find us a place, whether it be here in the solitude of our home, and just say, Jesus, I love you so much. I'll never understand why He loved me, but thank God I'm glad I know I love Him. I sought Him. I found Him. I held Him. And I would not let Him go.